On this week's episode of Work Trends, we're talking about the state of HR with Paychex experts Corey Ma and Liam Machado. Welcome to the Work Trends podcast from Talent Culture. I'm your host, Megan Ambiro. Every week, I interview interesting people and brands who are reimagining work. For more information, be sure to check us out at talentculture.com and join us live on Twitter every Wednesday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern using the hashtag WorkTrends. Today's episode is sponsored by Paychex, and we are lucky to have two guests, Corey Ma and Liam Machado from Paychex. The Paychex team recently released their second annual Pulse of HR survey, and they're here today to talk about the most interesting brands they've uncovered. Welcome to Work Trends, Corey and Leah.
Thank you, Megan. It's great to be back on Work Trends.
Yes, thank you for having us back. Looking forward to the discussion.
So first, tell us a little background about the survey. Who were you talking to, and how did you collect the data?
Well, Megan, as you mentioned, this is our second year of fielding the Paychex Pulse of HR survey, and we debuted it in 17 because we felt there was a gap in research relative to overall HR trends and themes impacting small and mid-sized businesses. So this was an online survey, and we collected over 300 responses from HR leaders, which we defined as managers and up, in companies with 50 to 500 employees across the U.S., and as a reminder, we still have one more year to go with this research series, so we're two of three series in.
How exciting is this? Like, this is a major work in progress.
Yes, we are excited. It's always interesting to get data back on research efforts you do. And then, you know, what's really interesting about this one is it's a longitudinal study, so you get to see trends over time, which isn't always the case with a lot of research projects.
Well, I'm excited to hear more. So I want to dive right into the results. Leah, what surprised you most?
Well, Megan, for me, one of the most telling changes from last year to this year relates to employee engagement. Last year, only 48% felt that at least half of their workforce was engaged. This year, that number jumped to 65. Now, I think that some of this could be contributed to the tight labor market we're experiencing today. As we reach full employment in the U.S., workers aren't feeling stuck in their job if they're not happy. If you have really great talent but aren't engaging them at work, now more than ever, they will look for work somewhere else. While the percentage increase indicates companies and HR leaders are doubling down on their commitment to engagement, 65% is still not great. It's progress, but I'd like to see that number be much higher next year.
I'm surprised these numbers aren't higher to date myself. Like, agreed. It's great that it went up, but really? Like, Corey, thoughts?
Yeah, so in terms of the engagement, yeah, I always want to see that higher. I think going to what surprised me with the research is that about half or more than half of respondents, 58%, said they're using some form of artificial intelligence, AI, and of those using it, almost half claim they're using it very effectively or effectively. And so for me, the real question is how is it really being used, and is it really truly AI or just some more form of an advanced reporting or light analytics? So we appear to be in the early stages, in my opinion, in all facets of business with implementing and really leveraging AI. So I'm surprised to see the numbers that make it sound like we are further along the adoption curve than I would have expected. So again, the question is how deep and impactful are these types of AI solutions in helping HR leaders make better business decisions? Because at the end of the day, the data gives HR professionals the insights, but it's on them to turn that into action.
Did you both ask anything around AI specifically, like how well the audience is actually interpreting what that is, right? How are we defining it, right? I think this is just a global conversation we're having for all of us. Yeah. I feel like AI is, we don't have a collective understanding yet. And Leah, you may want to share with us your view on that, just in general.
Yes, I think that AI is being defined very differently by lots of organizations. And so in our survey, we asked about how they're applying it in their worlds and gave them, you know, such examples like voice recognition, chatbots, virtual reality. But I do think there's an opportunity next year to explore more into the definition of that and then how they're utilizing it. Mm-hmm. Corey, what do you think?
I completely agree with Leigh. I think it's sort of a how we define, even last year, I think we talked a little about HR analytics and reporting and how you define something. And I think it's extending into the AI space where, you know, how people define it or how they're using data could be very different. And the, how deep they're going, leveraging it is the big question I have. So is it just to have something, or is it really impacting the way they make decisions and look at and analyze data? That's the big question for us, at least. And I think more to come on that.
Any other surprises?
Well, I think there's lots of data in there, and I think we'll talk about some more. But I still think we see some things around people using manual processes still at work. There's some things that people are doing and not leveraging full automation. I think we got some of the challenges that we talked about in terms of looking at the challenges that businesses face around with regulations and time and attendance tracking. There's some things there I think we were really surprised about.
Okay. Well, talk us through some of this, because I feel like a lot of HR is still feeling this burn. I know you had 5 general HR challenges that popped up. What were those specifically?
So the top 5 that we had is the first was keeping up with regulations. Number 2 was tracking employees' time. Number 3 was complying with regulations. 4 was offering competitive benefits. And 5 was retaining talent.
So Corey, what's interesting, for a second year in a row, respondents see regulations presenting 2 of the top 3 challenges. The fact is regulations are not going away. Even when considering the current administration and an emphasis on federal deregulation, one might think keeping up with regulations would be easier today. But what we're seeing is that as federal regulations decrease, many state and local governments are responding, which means there's more to keep up with, and that's clearly a challenge that HR leaders are feeling. And then Corey, you touched on the time tracking.
Yeah, that's what really jumped out at me, is the fact that tracking employees' time is the number 2 challenge is quite honestly a little baffling, since there's a lot of ways companies can solve that problem today. You know, there's a ton of affordable and effective time and attendance solutions out there. So there's no reason that HR leaders should be wasting their valuable time on things like administrative tasks like time tracking. So I guess things like, you know, keeping track of time in an area of flexible scheduling and more non-traditional workers, you know, could be somewhat difficult, but, you know, I still believe these solutions continually evolve to accommodate these types of scenarios. So if you're spending even a quarter of your time tracking down employees to record their time, which we know a lot of businesses are still doing, via these manual processes, you're still leaving yourself less time to focus on what really matters, which is those strategic activities like engagement and retention and so forth.
Well, when you look at the figures, right, how many of us are telecommuting now? Like,
yes.
That just adds to that headache factor. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
Talk to us about some of the other hiring specific challenges out there. Because this is important. I know there's so many people out there that feel this when it comes to these challenges.
Yes, we did ask about the hiring specific challenges, and the top 3 are 1, finding quality candidates, 2, finding candidates who fit the company culture, and 3, retaining their top employees.
Unbelievable. We're still here, right? But I'm glad we're, you know, unless we ask the question, we don't know, right? We have a hunch it's going on. I mean, that's the whole point of this survey and why I would imagine you're doing it for so long, right? In some ways, things are changing very rapidly. In other ways, not so much.
Yeah, and you typically see that in research. There's some things that, you know, move very small increments over time, and so you need a longer time horizon to see those trends, and others move quite rapidly. And that's actually one of the reasons we added some new questions this year to address some of the new themes or movements out there that we've been seeing socially and how it impacts HR.
Yeah.
And to that point, I'd expect for us to add more questions next year as well.
I can imagine. I mean, that's half the fun, right, is figuring out, okay, we've got this data, now what? What's next? And getting those little nuggets, that's very cool. So let's take a look at the new questions you asked this year. What did you learn from those? Talk to us a little bit more specifically about that.
Yeah, so just a little background. So while it's a longitudinal study, we always want to make sure that we're asking relevant questions. And we thought after taking a step back and meeting on the questions, we decided to add a few that really revolved around a couple movements impacting HR, things like the Me Too and Time's Up movements, as well as a lot of the dialogue and ongoing work around pay equity. And so we thought it was important just to see and capture HR's response in these areas and what's happening. So while it was a longitudinal study, we did want to get some, you know, top of mind or topical discussions in there. So from our survey, what's interesting is on the issue of harassment and discrimination, 83% of the HR leaders surveyed now have some form of discrimination and harassment policy in place. And 65% have updated those policies in the last 12 months. So certainly work there to make sure that businesses are on top of that and they're protected from these issues. And then on the pay equity side, 67% of the respondents have reevaluated their pay practices this year with an eye on pay equity. So we're really excited about looking at that next year. So this is the first year we asked it. But so not only do we see it in the research, but I think Leah can speak to how we're seeing it in our business as well.
Yes, absolutely, Corey. This is a case of the data really telling the story of the past year for HR leaders. Harassment and pay equity are definitely top of mind. In fact, requests to review policies in both of these areas came in with much more frequency this year. We've taken it, though, a step further. Non-harassment training is the number one training that our HR generalists have delivered to our clients, either on-site or through webinar in our online learning system. So for us, it's, Corey, been more about taking it to the next level versus just creating policies, truly educating the entire workforce from executives all the way to the frontline employees.
Nothing like using a hashtag, Time's Up, Me Too, to really get things moving, right? I suspect this is not the last time we're going to hear this pop up too in the data. So very interesting. Leah, I know you've worked in HR for a long time, all right? How have you seen the role of HR changing, speaking of all this transformation and drama? Right.
Well, Megan, I can give you an idea of just how long I've worked in HR. It was called the personnel department when I started many years ago.
Right.
But in all seriousness, though, it has been amazing to watch and personally experience the evolution of HR's role. Not only does our data show that 80% of HR leaders today feel they have a strategic influence on the C-suite, and I can attest to that myself, HR's role has continued to evolve as a strategic partner and a critical contributor to the company's success versus being viewed as just a cost center. And so that's really cool. What's also interesting to me is that this transformation that you talked about has really led to higher demands being placed on HR professionals, resulting in high stress because they're being asked to do more with less, like so many others in the organization. According to our research, 78% of respondents reported feeling stressed at work in both 2017 and 2018. However, about three quarters would still recommend HR as a profession. That tells me that there's an increased sense of value and purpose in the profession. The work that HR is doing is rewarding. It's making a difference in business today. And Megan, I think there's just a lot to be said for that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. I think high stress is something that kind of comes with the territory. But again, if we don't measure this and talk about it, we can't actually work on a solution. So part of that doesn't really surprise me at all, which is awesome. But at the same time, I feel like with all this push towards having your work and your life be, and I'm not going to use the word balanced because I think it's kind of outdated and unrealistic,
right,
but having that sort of continuous work-life situation for all of us, right? Like, I don't come to work and basically separate, right? Like, my work and my home life are pretty much one, and I think more and more people are feeling that way. So I think the fact that HR is still a very viable career path and people are still willing to wake up and deal with that says a lot, actually, right?
It does.
So we know that this matters to many of you people out there. So if you're listening right now and you want to share some thoughts with us, utilize the hashtag WorkTrends. We want to hear from you. How high is your stress right now compared to, say, last year? Because if we don't ask, we don't know. So, Corey, one thing I've been thinking about a lot is how HR tech has changed, right? How are you seeing companies use HR tech differently?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's a word that's going around a lot in the business, and you see workshops and seminars and conferences around digital transformation. And I think you just mentioned how the work, the home work life and work life are kind of intermixing, but it's same with the way our lives are being transformed by these digital technologies. And it's no different for HR. But when I think about HR and digital transformation, we look at more about HR become much more embedded in the way HR does work and the applications they use. And it first started, if you think about going back, and we'll kind of laugh now to say that, you know, 5+ years ago that, you know, mobile and cloud or SaaS technologies were sort of the big trends. And now, if you look today, while those are newer concepts back then, now I think we just expect them as table stakes. They're just kind of, you know, we're used to it. We expect it. But I think as you look forward now, the next components are really going to be around some social and analytics will be much more prevalent. And we're seeing these advancements that technology have an impact on HR. And our research shows that more than 3/4 of HR leaders feel that their current HR technology solution is improving the overall employee experience. And nearly as many, about 70%, are satisfied with their current solution. And if you look at the employee experience, another concept that's been gone from really being a nice-to-have to a must-have is employee self-service. And a few months ago, we actually did a separate survey to over 400 U.S. employees and found that 73% expect their employer to offer a high level of self-service that allows them to complete HR tasks on their own. They don't want to call
Huge.
In. They don't want to fill out a form. They want to go online, whether it be a desktop, a laptop, a phone. So I think it's just another proof point that we move from sort of a tech-enabled society or workplace into more of a tech-dependent one. And I still think there's a big opportunity out there for HR to improve the efficiency and effectiveness of the function by embracing, you know, a single platform to get back into some of the looking at the efficiencies of a business and how you automate things and how you get out of some of these data integrity issues. And we found that only 21% of businesses are using a single suite solution, and nearly half are using, you know, separate systems with some integrations, and the other 30% are using separate systems with no integrations or complete manual solutions, which is a little crazy in today's age, in my opinion.
Yeah,
we still think the power
sure
of the platform is still powerful, and
so
we're investing heavily in our platform to make sure we help businesses solve those problems.
Well, and I think the other bigger picture, it comes down to trust. Right. Like if we're talking about time and attendance and freelance workers or people, you know, that are not in that office every day, you have to trust on both sides that everyone's doing the right thing. But the first step beyond trust, right, is having those systems and having ideally a single portal. Trust culture, though, right? I mean, what do you think about that, Corey? I mean, how does that come into play here when we talk about trust and culture?
Yeah, I think, I mean, and Leigh was probably really good to talk about trust and culture here, but I think from a, you know, technology, I think part of it is from a culture perspective, employees want to, especially the newer employees coming in, and not saying it's just the newer generations, but all generations want tools and solutions that they can make their workplace more more alike they would conduct their personal life, right? So they're expecting to be able to go on their phone to look up something. They're expecting to have, you know, apps that are easy to use and intuitive. So I think that's all kind of coming into, they want their workplace to sort of be an extension of their personal life. So as employers can provide those, I think it makes a much better culture and environment for the employees.
Well, in terms of trust, it's critical for a healthy culture. I mean, distrust just creates a lot of toxic and dysfunction. So I think though that people feeling like they are more connected and creates, you know, more collaboration across the organization is what really helps build the personal relationships and therefore helps build that trust.
Okay, so here's the fun part. Let's pretend we have a crystal ball for a minute. If you did this survey again in 5 years, what would you expect to change? Digital transformation, millennials, the role of data in analytics, any of those things. Let's unpack that a bit more.
Yeah, so I'll start, and I'll go right back. You start with it, with this digital transformation, and I mentioned that mobile and cloud are sort of here to stay, but the next two emerging technologies that I talked about are that really going to start to impact HR. We talked about analytics earlier and the social collaboration tools, which really is addressing how people want to communicate and interact in the workplace. So with many of us, we have kids, and we know that the way they communicate is vastly different than it was for us growing up. And again, would they expect their workplace solutions to kind of mirror how they act in their personal lives? So, you know, forward-thinking HR organizations are already seeing the value in embracing some of these technologies, but there's a lot more they can do to really drive this. And then on the analytics side, to get a little more deeper there, it's getting just more and more sophisticated, and you're starting to see some of these become embedded in various HR applications. But as we look forward, I can really see things like the chatbots and virtual assistants becoming much more prevalent. Yeah. And then when you sort of combine that with social collaboration tools, you can really have a really powerful and simple solution for the organization for their employees to use and for the businesses to leverage.
So clearly the role of HR and HR tech is changing really fast. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, how do you both stay in the know and how do you keep learning in these times? Seriously, because we have options. So there's almost too many of them.
No doubt. I mean, the change is fast and it's furious, Megan, but that is exactly what we do here at Paychex. There are so many great resources out there like SHRM and Talent Culture that can really help HR pros keep up with the latest trends. But for us here at Paychex, it's truly about listening to our customers. What are their challenges? What's top of mind for them and keeps them up at night? What do they need help with the most? When I really think about it, we have thousands of Paychex employees who are interacting with and listening to customers every single day. So whether it's our nearly 500 HR generalists discussing HR policies and best practices with the client, or our team of compliance experts who are monitoring all of those state and federal regulatory changes, we really cover the gamut because of our large footprint and our employees constantly staying abreast of customer needs. Keeping up with the latest industry trends is simply what we do. It's one of our superpowers because, Megan, our purpose here at Paychex is to empower our customers to focus on the growth and the management of their business versus them having to keep up with all this stuff.
Corey, you are embedded in HR and tech. How do you keep learning?
Well, I first and foremost, I think what, you know, Leia talks about, we have a lot of people talking to businesses every day that give us a lot of great feedback. And we also do perform our own internal and proprietary market research also to understand what's happening. You know, obviously, this is a research project that we've used to communicate with the outside, but there's a lot we do with our customers and prospects to understand what their pain points are and how we help solve their problems. But really, Leia hit on it, the most valuable piece is hearing from our customers and our prospects. And give you some examples of things. So we heard quite loudly, I talked a little bit about the social collaboration. So recently we've gone out, and you probably have seen that we did an announcement where we're going to be providing the workplace by Facebook to deliver a social collaboration tool to our clients. We've made some changes with our time and attendance time clocks and launched a new biometric version with iris technology, so you don't have to use your fingerprints or punch in. You just look right into it. So great for certain types of industries. And then we've also launched this year a new simple but powerful onboarding tools to help our businesses with employee onboarding, which is one of the most one of the HR processes most likely to be done manually. So we listen to our clients and we develop solutions to help solve those needs. And it's just listening, constantly listening and asking questions.
It's so important. I want to thank you both for being here today. This has been so cool. And where can our listeners go to download this full report? Because I know many of us are at a place where we want this kind of feedback. We want this data to be able to go back and go, see, this is what we're talking about. Where do we find that?
Yes, so you can download the report at paychex.me/pulse 18. We'll also be sure to tweet a link out during the Twitter chat. And as always, you can always go to our website at paychex.com and find the report there also.
Leia and Corey, you rock. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thanks again. We're grateful to have been here.
Thanks for listening to Work Trends from Talent Culture. If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And I'd be really grateful if you took a moment to leave a rating and review on iTunes. It helps other people find our show. If you know someone who would enjoy listening, please share it with them. You can learn more about the future of work at talentculture.com.